save big money on plant protection supplies. Now at Menards. Defend your garden with Triazicide Insect Killer. Its fast-acting formula protects lawns, vegetables, and many other plants. It kills more than 260 insects by contact, above and below ground. Choose from ready to spray, concentrate, or granular. Save big money on Triazicide Insect Killer at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to the Gravity Leadership Podcast, where we explore how to center our lives and our leadership in the love of God revealed in Jesus Christ.
In the midst of the disruptive cultural shockwaves of the 21st century,
join us as we learn to take the love of God seriously as the force that holds all of us and everything together.
Hey, old Ben.
Hey, old Matt. How are you this fine morning?
Yeah, good. You know, up at 3 a.m., but then went back. Yeah, it's just my life.
Not on purpose, right?
Nope. Yeah. Went back to bed at 7:15 and had three dreams between 7:15 and 8.
Did you write them down? Are you a dream writer downer?
No, I'm just a, dear God, please let me get into REM sleep so I can feel like a human being.
Yes.
Person.
And the REM sleep is not when you're dreaming, right?
You're dreaming
when you're in lighter sleep. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. The deep sleep, though, is not REM sleep.
Right. Deep sleep happens before REM sleep.
Yeah.
So you have
read a whole book about this, but I forgot already.
Yeah, the deep sleep is important too, but you don't start REM sleep until after about 5 or 6 hours of sleep.
That's right. Yeah.
So if you only get 5 or 6 hours of sleep a night, you're not getting REM sleep,
yeah,
which is no good for you. They tell me.
Yeah, you probably read the same book as I did.
Why We Sleep.
Why We Sleep. Yeah, it was illuminating. I've started writing down my dreams.
Yeah.
FYI. Just because I used to not, remember them. Like they fade really quickly after I wake up. I'm always like, oh, sometimes I'm like, oh, that's right. I did have a dream, but what was it about? And then, but I don't know. I just thought it'd be interesting to write them down. Like as I wake up, I write them down.
Yeah.
At least what I remember. And then go back and look at them later. I mean, sometimes they're just the most ridiculous things where you're just like, what in the world? Like, I think last night I dreamed I was playing like 2-on-2 basketball.
Okay. With who?
With, I can't remember who it was with. I feel like it was some famous person was like on one of the teams. And I was playing 2-on-2 basketball and I was like frustrated that I couldn't, I was frustrated that I couldn't handle the ball a little better. Like I had ideas of what I wanted to do, like moves I wanted to make. Mm-hmm. But like I physically couldn't complete the moves.
Mm.
I wasn't practiced enough or something like that.
Maybe you're just old.
In my dream, I'm old too, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. That could be. I do sense, there's sometimes dreams that I have where the theme is kind of like on that theme is like, I'm wanting to do something, but my body won't cooperate. So it's either like I'm trying to play basketball, but I can't dribble, or I'm trying to like, you know, climb some stairs, but I can't remember how.
Ben, do you know what?
What does that say about me?
Well, do you know what I call it when I want to do something and my body won't cooperate?
Being old?
ADHD.
ADHD. Maybe I have dream ADHD. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're on sabbatical.
From obviously I'm here speaking with our listeners, so not from gravity work, but from church work. So,
yeah.
Which interesting thing about our relationship is we are partners in both areas.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so Matt is only allowed to talk to me about gravity stuff.
Cannot talk church business.
Nope. So interesting boundaries around our relationship right now.
They're good boundaries. Let's keep them. Let's keep them like this forever.
Yeah, keep them like this, at least until August 1st. So I'm happy about it.
We're also pulling together a little retreat here at the end of the summer that for the first time we're kind of running this thing. And it's sign-ups are going well.
Yeah, yeah. We decided to run a little retreat. We've got access to a retreat center here in Indianapolis that's run by some friends of ours. And so Labor Day weekend, August 31st, September 1st, September 2nd, just that Thursday through Saturday, we decided mm-hmm. to see if we could run a little intimate retreat for folks. And we just wanted to make some space for grief and make some space for joy. It feels like there's a lot of unprocessed. I feel like I have a lot of still of unprocessed grief, especially and probably joy over the past few years with the pandemic and all the cultural upheaval that we've gone through. I think it's been just a crazy time to be alive. So anyway, we thought, what would it look like to just make some space for us to talk about that stuff? And so we'll have some exercises and some just basically mostly what we're doing is creating space for conversations, for people to talk about what's come up for them over the last few years.
Yep.
We're keeping it intentionally small. We are going to be limiting it to 12 people. We have, what did I say earlier? 8 people signed up so far?
Yeah.
8 people signed up so far. So that is great. People are coming from apparently all over the country. I don't know. I don't know where some of these folks live, but people are coming into town for this. And so there are 4 more spots if you would like to join us August 31st through September 2nd to talk grief and joy and just create some space. We're going to do home-cooked meals. We're going to do fire pits. We're going to have plenty of space for reflection and meditation on your own as well. So anyway, join us if you want. Yeah. We'll put a link in the show notes, but you can also go to, we're calling the retreat A Bright Sadness. And so you can go to abrightsadness.eventbrite.com to find out more information and to register. There are, at the retreat center, this is maybe just another FYI, at the retreat center, there are a few rooms that you can book in addition to booking space at the retreat. Not everybody is able to stay at the retreat center, but we do have, let me look here, 1, 2, 3. We have 1 more room available at the retreat center if you'd like to join us and just stay on site at the retreat center. Otherwise, other people are just sort of booking their own lodging at Airbnbs and such. So,
all right.
That's the info.
Good
join enough. Us if you want.
Yeah. Should we get into this interview with Megan?
Let's do it. Anything to say about this? Is a friend of Christy's, and Christy led the interview.
Yeah.
Christy couldn't. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, the only thing to say is just that I think I'm fascinated by the concept of journaling. Mm. And I'm really glad that she's joined us for this conversation, because I think journaling's important. I think one of the lost spiritual disciplines or spiritual arts in our world is talking to ourselves. Scripture recounts the scripture writers talking to themselves.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They do this frequently. They talk to themselves about God and about what they're feeling and about how they're doing, and they exhort themselves or they encourage themselves with certain things. Yeah. And I think that we all have self-talk, but we're not intentional about it. We're not purposeful about it. And I think this book helps us get there.
Yep. Yeah. And I think there's an aspect. I mean, Megan talks about this as well. So does, I'm thinking of Mark Shelsky, who we interviewed him about journaling as well. You can go back in the archives and look for that one. But there is also a sense in which, and this has been true in my life, that in the talking to myself and sort of the unearthing of my innermost thoughts and feelings, there is also then a discernment about God talking to me and God talking, God speaking to us as well. And so it's a fuzzy, there's not like a, I don't know, there's no technique where you can guarantee to, you know, hear God's voice or something. And for most people, I think that hearing God's voice is perhaps a metaphor that doesn't really work because, you know, people always talk about hearing the audible voice of God. But I mean, what does that mean? Audible, right?
Sure.
I mean, I don't know. It feels like that would just be a really clear thought that comes to you that you're convinced is sort of evidence of God's guidance, you know, in your life. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I've found that to be helpful is in journaling, creating space for the possibility that God may want to communicate with me as well. Is a helpful practice. So Megan seems to have a good method for that.
Yeah.
And Yeah, this is a helpful conversation. One of Christy's friends, and so Christy led the interview, and Christy couldn't be with us today, though, because she's got a terribly sore throat.
Under the weather.
Yeah, so pray for Christy. Pray for healing for her. All right, should we get into it?
Let's do it.
Here we go.
Welcome to the Gravity Leadership Podcast. I'm Christy, here with Ben and Matt.
Hello.
And our guest today is Megan Nielsen. Megan is a speaker, author, life coach, and founder of the Beautiful Exchange Community. She's written two books, most recently Untangling Faith, How to Have Honest Conversations with God Lead to Deeper Connection, Clarity, and Peace. And that's what we're going to talk about today. But Megan's my friend. So welcome, Megan.
Yes, Christy has a friend, everybody. You are welcome.
I have one friend everybody now knows.
I know, it's exciting. We all have Megan, a mission in life.
I know. Everyone's feeling bad for me now. Megan has four kids and our kids go to school together and we've known each other for I think almost 14 years. I moved to Colorado Springs 14 years ago. We were in a Sunday night Bible study, kind of together, same church, live near each other, and really honestly do life together. And so it's super fun to have somebody that I love and know and respect. And so I'm just glad you could be here.
Thank you. Yes, we meet every Monday morning and I get to learn from Christy. She's amazing. So we have a Bible study we do together and
yeah.
I just love to follow this girl.
That's great.
Well, that's great. You know, this is different than how it normally works. Normally, we either meet people that we want to spend more time with here on the podcast, and Christy has spent tons of time with Megan, and now she comes on the podcast.
And she's still invited me.
Yeah.
I know.
Saying something. Yeah, something. Yes.
And I think a long-time listeners of the podcast will be pleased to know that Christy finally has a friend.
Yes. Well, it's now public information.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, yeah. So. Well, Megan, what else do we need to know about you? Since I know everything about you, but Ben and Matt don't. So fill us in. What else would you include?
Oh, gosh. Okay. Yes. Four kids. Christy and I connect over being adoptive moms. So my older two are biological. And in college, our oldest is graduating here shortly, which is kind of crazy. I feel like people have asked me, we have a high school graduate this year and college graduate. And college graduation is hitting me differently. Honestly, I don't know. It's just odd to be launching your kid, your adult man child into the actual world. He has an actual job. So praise God. Like that's exciting. But he's going to be living in a totally different state. And it's just, we're in a new transition season of parenting. I've been married for decades and my husband is a career change social studies teacher. So we both in 2020 pivoted to new jobs, new careers. And so that was really amazing. So sort of the midlife moment hit us both. Luckily, nothing catastrophic happened that I need to have therapy for. We actually both jumped into new things that we're loving. For me, it's coaching and speaking and writing. And for him, it's teaching. And it's been super fun to do that. So life is full and fun and recreating myself all the time.
Well, today we're going to talk about your new book that came out, which I want to throw confetti for because it's really good and really practical. I mentioned it before, but it's called Untangled Faith. And really, we did a cohort within Gravity. We went through Gravity stuff, and there was a statement in Matt and Ben's book that kind of caught your attention that really led to some of this writing. And I'm curious if you can kind of share that little snippet with us.
Oh, what was it from Matt and Ben's book that caught my attention? Let me just remind myself. No,
something about bringing it to Jesus.
Bring it to Jesus. Yes. Okay, so let me give you a little context. Yes, we did do the Gravity Leadership book, and then we did the Mind of Christ. It took us a whole year to go through all that stuff. It was amazing. And there was something in the very beginning of the book when you guys were writing and you were saying, what do we do with all these questions and these hard moments? We bring it to Jesus. We lay it at the foot of the cross. We bring it to him. And then we say, Jesus, what do you want me to know about this? You're always here. You're always with me. You're informing me. You're giving me your kingdom perspective. And I was like, bring it to Jesus. That's exactly it. So to truth be told, my original, I was going to publish a journal and call it the Bring It to Jesus Journal. So that is not the actual name of it, but that was the working draft for quite a while. And the journaling that I'm talking about is really came to me a couple of years ago. And I was following this guy named Mark Verkler of Communion with God Ministries. And he was talking about how we can truly come to Jesus with everything and begin to communicate with him, and specifically writing with him. So I was learning what he calls two-way journaling. So two-way journaling where I, as a human being, am writing and I'm just uncensored, asking questions, just writing out all my thoughts. And then I stop in 4 or 5 minutes time, kind of drop the pen and say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to know about this? Show me your perspective over this, this bring it to Jesus moment. So then after you've released what you're concerned about and you begin to receive and kind of tune to the flow of the Holy Spirit, ask the Lord to be speaking to you and writing down the impressions that are coming to you. A lot of times it's scripture, you know, all like, what is God wanting to say about this? And so I have spent the better part of a couple of years doing this journaling myself, kind of releasing questions, thoughts, concerns to the Lord, receiving from him, and doing this two-way journaling, leading groups of women through it in my coaching practice and things like that. And then one morning, this is getting to the crux of how this particular book and journal got published. One morning, I don't know, a year or so ago, I literally woke up. We literally wake up in the morning. Okay, let me rephrase that. Yeah. Like I do every morning, I literally wake up. But this time, no, this particular morning, there was just this download. That's the only way I know how to describe it, from this journaling. Like it was as if the Lord gave me a deeper framework and blueprint of when you journal with him and you listen for his words, then what do you do with that? How can that become practical? How do you walk it out? What kind of challenges do you come up against when you're communicating with the Lord? And where does your flesh, where is he asking you to renew your mind and release things that you're really holding on to? So all that to say, he gave me this framework that I call Beautiful Exchange Journaling, where the Beautiful Exchange was my first book. And it's this moment of moving from flesh to spirit. So if you're taking Romans chapter 8 and you're saying the flesh brings death and the spirit brings life, well, Paul said that first. I'll give him credit to Paul.
Yeah.
But, you know, the flesh brings death, the spirit brings life. And so that's what, to me, that's what this journaling is I am releasing my flesh that I know will bring strife and stress and anxiety and worries. And I'm saying I'm releasing the concerns of my flesh. I'm asking you, Lord, to exchange them for the beauty and the freedom and the joy of your spirit. And then we move from there. So I was planning on publishing this journal with this exact framework. I had the introduction written out. How would I explain this framework to people? And we can kind of go into that, the hows of that. But as I was preparing to publish the journal for a speaking retreat that I was doing it that spring, I literally, again, literally, we're going to have to work on my communication skills. I had this moment where the Holy Spirit, he said to me, you can publish the journal. And this is a fantastic spiritual discipline and practice for people to go through. But if you really want to anchor this in something deeper and understand at a deeper level and equip people and empower people to believe that they can hear from the Lord, understand each part of the framework in a more, you know, grounded in biblical theology, you need to write a book. This is my very long-winded way of saying that's how the book came, because the Lord said, you can create the journal and that will be good. But in the Garden of Eden moment, if you want it to be very good, you need to write a book and explain it to people. They read the book and then they are equipped to journal with the Lord for themselves. So there's a huge brain dump for you. You might have some questions. Do you literally have any questions?
Well, it's really good because there's the book that explains it and the journal that you can practice it with. And can I just tell you a quick story of how I implemented your journaling this past weekend real
Amazing.
Quickly?
Yeah.
I was up in Denver with 25 high school kids leading this like trip, the service project trip, working with houseless friends, people who don't have a consistent place to live in the city of Denver. And we did lots of different things, but at one time we had an hour where we were trying to clean up this one little block of Denver off Colfax, which is considered to be or called the wickedest city or street in America because of how many meth deals, prostitution, houseless people that are living there. And so we had this one little section, and it was probably like a foot deep of rubbish that was just there. And so me and four high school kids are like picking up this rubbish, and we were picking up like horrific things, broken bongs and needles. We had gloves on, and feces and used tampons. I mean, it was horrific. And we finished. And that night I was still feeling very unsettled, like very like, this was really gross to me. And there's a lot that my heart was holding. And so I pulled out a piece of paper and just started journaling. Like, this is what happened. And this is how I felt. And this is questions I had, and anger and like emotions and all that kind of stuff. And after a few minutes said, okay, Lord, what do you say to all of this? How do you meet me in all of this? And I wrote down like these words, I wash you too. And I was like, what? And this idea of forgiveness hit my heart in a very new, fresh, beautiful way of, yeah, I was picking up all this rubbish of other people. But there's rubbish in my own life to confess and to release and to be honest about. And how quickly there was change made when we picked up all that rubbish, and how quickly there can be forgiveness. And it was beautiful. And it was because of your work. And so I'm just really grateful that you wrote it, that you wrote the book, and that you wrote the journal, because it was helpful for me to release it, but also receive what God had for me.
Yeah, that's huge. And what I love about it is this idea of journaling can be overwhelming, or what's the point? And I even hesitate to use the word journal because people are like, eh, I don't really do that. Or that's for women. Yeah. Women do that, right? Christy does that, but we don't do that. So, and I was at a retreat where someone said, you know, I wish I could journal, but I'm kind of afraid to journal because I'm afraid of what I'm going to say. And so I thought to myself, you know what? I would be kind of afraid to journal too if it ended with my thoughts. If that is the end game, because my thoughts are limited. Like, God's thoughts are unlimited, and they're higher than our ways. And to your experience, Christy, you were coming, writing down, you were kind of cleansing yourself of this experience of, oh my gosh, this is just what I experienced. And it was so dark and dirty and heavy. And what do I do with that? And immediately the Lord gave you this impression in your mind that was like, I clean you too. So it didn't stop in this really hard, heavy place. That's the beauty of this type of experience or spiritual discipline, though, is you have to get it out. You have to name what's true and honest and what your experience is, because that's real. And then he says, thank you for naming that and understanding that and bringing that to me. Now I want to give you, I want to renew your mind with my truth. And he did that for you. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, what I notice too is, I'm glad you mentioned like the gendered way sometimes we think about journaling, as though if I'm going to be a man, I can't write my thoughts. I don't perceive that. Like, I've never heard that before, but I'm glad you named it, because if it's a thing, if it's a real thing, then like we need to sort of debunk that. Right. Anyway, that's the first thing. And the second thing is I noticed that, journaling and I have a complicated relationship, Megan, because my brain works faster than my hands, and my ADHD makes it so like it's hard for me to slow my brain down. Like, it's really hard to slow my thoughts down. And so I'm noticing that one of the things you're doing in this book and this talking with God through facing and naming, like, you know, what's going on with us, I typically do verbally. So I'll go on a walk and I'll just talk. I'll basically free form, mm-hmm. quote, write, but instead of writing it, I'll just speak it. And then once it's out, I'll just be quiet and listen, kind of hold it there. And for me, and this is not just because I'm a man and I don't like journaling. No, but for me, this is really, really helpful. Really, really helpful. And I'm actually considering how I can play around with doing this in smaller chunks with mm-hmm. the thing you're describing.
Well, what I love about what you just said is, yeah, go for a walk and talk to God. I mean, yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a definitely thumbs up thing to do. But what would it look like for you to then come home and begin to write, especially what he tells you? So you can kind of cleanse your thoughts and get them out there. And there is something very neurological that happens when we take our pen and we write it out. There's something that's like, you know, rewiring your brain, and I'm not a scientist, so I only know enough to get me in trouble. But there is, like, we are wired. Yeah. To rewire. So when you're writing things down, even if your brain is going so fast, if you can catch like key words and phrases, you write that down. And then if you were to write them down in some sort of a journal, I mean, I would say the Untangled Faith Beautiful Exchange Companion Journal, but then you have this record. So one thing that's been so important for me is I can actually go back and look at key pieces of journaling. And God has actually, I mean, I have smiled so many times because just between him and he's prophesied over me. Things have come to pass that no other person on the planet would know. But I know because I wrote it down. And on that specific date, I was dealing with this thing. And then that specific date comes up in some other way. And it's almost like a fun little like insider information that you can have with the Lord. So I'd be curious what that would look like for you to go on a walk and get it out the way your body is created to do that. Mm-hmm. And then what if you came home and you were like, okay, now I'm going to write down a few things that he gave me so that I can deposit those and pocket those in this space for testimony, for fortified faith, anchoring, yeah. et cetera.
Yeah, that's good. So kind of like freeform verbally and then keep a record of it in a journal.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now a word from a sponsor.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, let's get back into our conversation.
I don't have the same kind of complicated relationship as Matt with journaling. It's actually been a really...
Or with most things, really.
I mean, you know. literally with most things.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Yeah. We can all misuse the word on this podcast. Mm-hmm. It's a safe space. No, but I was going to say, I have benefited greatly from the kind of journaling that you're talking about. Actually, I came into contact, I think Mark Verkler has a vineyard background, doesn't he? And I used to be a worship pastor at a vineyard, mm-hmm. a vineyard-y church. So anyway, so I've been doing this for a long time. And, you know, sometimes my journal entries are mostly me, you know, mostly me kind of getting the thoughts and feelings out onto the page. And then, you know, every once in a while, they're also what I sense, you know, God is saying to me. And I guess my question for you, Megan, is that can sometimes feel like a mysterious sort of mystical, like what it, like for people who aren't maybe accustomed to it, it can feel like you're talking nonsense, right? It's just like, what do you mean God spoke to you? Like, what do you mean you just write down what you sense the Spirit might be? So, I mean, not to be like super cynical about it, but what would you say to people who maybe feel intimidated by it? Just to say I can write down my feelings, but how do I know like the things that occur to me next are God? Like what would I even begin to, how would I know, you know, what's happening here? How do I begin to trust it?
Well, that's super fair. I've had people say that literally that thing to me.
Yes.
This could be a drinking game. Every time Megan says literally, take a drink. Orange juice. Okay, guys. Gosh.
Take a shot of orange juice.
Grape juice. Chip. So anyway, yes, what you're speaking of is very common. And I've had people say that to me. And on one level, I don't know if the thoughts that are coming in your head are from God or not.
Right.
Like that's for you to discover and determine. But what I have given, at least at some very base level in this book, and I believe that your book speaks to this too, is how do you know it's from God? So there are things that you can do to test it. So even in Mark Berkler, he's saying, okay, if you have thoughts and ideas and impressions coming to your mind, write them down. Don't censor yourself, because as human beings, we can tend to overthink and just get stuck, paralyzed. We're done. We're overthinking it. So don't overthink. Allow kind of that free flow creative expression to come. But then once you have, you know, really had some thoughts and images come to your mind, then take them to Lord, bring it back, bring it to Jesus and say, is this from you? Confirm it with me. So is it consistent with Scripture? These are all the things that you probably already know. Jump into the Bible. If what you're hearing, either in impressions in your mind, I have never personally heard the audible voice of God. I would love to. So like, you know, hand to heaven. I hope maybe he's listening to me now. He'll give me that. But I haven't. I just have impressions and thoughts come into my mind. And then at that point, it's up to me. I do the inner work of saying, okay, is this something that I could have thought of on my own? Is this something that is consistent with Scripture when I go and get godly counsel? So a part of my extended version of journaling, because what I was originally doing was releasing my thoughts and receiving impressions that come to me. I think there's really important work to do after that. How is God asking me to renew my mind? Do I need to reach out and ask for some counsel and some confirmation? So this is an ongoing developing practice. It's not done in a vacuum. And I get really concerned when people say, I heard from God and period, end of statement. I talk a lot about what kind of fruit is this bringing? So when you're hearing things in your mind, when thoughts are coming to you, are they consistent with Scripture? Are they consistent with the character of God? Are they bringing about good fruit? If you can insert the fruit of the Spirit into the, you know, the harvest of what you're hearing, then I would say, yes, proceed with confidence. That's likely what God is saying. If all of a sudden it's going to bring pain or confusion to you or to somebody else, I would highly suggest you pause that, stop that, and go, whoa, what's going on right now? So it's hard to answer that question very specifically in this limited amount of time, but it's a very important question to ask. And I'd be concerned if people were not asking that question.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. It's sort of, there's like a baseline humility, right? That people who are actually going to be hearing from God are probably the people who doubt that they can do it. You know, if you're 100% confident that I got this, like, I would maybe doubt you know, what you're hearing.
Probably.
I'd love to hear what your response is to this as well, because one of the things, one of the other things about sort of hearing God's voice or sort of sensing what God is saying or doing, I think when I was younger, I assumed that hearing God's voice would mean God gives me specific directions about what to do with my life, that God's voice was going to be mainly instructions, right, for me to carry out, like, you know, go to the grocery store this morning and talk to this person, or go to this college instead of that one, or whatever. But my experience has been that mainly the things that I hear from God that are fairly confident that God is speaking to me, they're mostly indicative statements. They're not imperative statements. They're mostly God proclaiming some aspect of the good news of the gospel to me. You know, so it's a lot more like, it's a lot more like I wash you too than it is do this next week as well. Right. So I don't know. I don't know if that's been your experience, but I remember that being a surprise to me, that when I had a sense that God was speaking, it was almost always God just telling me things that were true rather than mm-hmm. telling me what to do.
Absolutely. It's fun to guide people through this journaling practice and then ask them, what do you notice about your voice? And what do you notice about God's voice? And by and large, what we experience is that when we're writing from our very real human perspective, it feels heavy and stressful and like there's an angst about it. And then when you're switching into, okay, God, show me your perspective, I'm bringing it to Jesus, there is that, there's a lightness, it's exchanging lies for the truth. And I think that's what you're getting at. So
yes.
A lot of times when I'm doing this, he's beginning to deconstruct lies that I'm believing about my life, about the circumstances. And he begins to, many times he's overlaying that with, I love you, I see you, you're not alone, to your point of how is he reminding me that my human thinking is getting stuck in very finite circumstantial space.
Yeah.
And he's bringing in a broader concept of not being alone and finding, you know, joy. And it's hard to explain with words.
Right.
Yeah. I might need to sing it. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I'm not going to sing it. it's pretty wild. It's kind of meta when you think about it, but I love your point of it's not necessarily because I use the word clarity mm-hmm. in the subtitle, how honest conversations with God lead to deeper connections, clarity, and peace. And clarity on a human level, you might think, okay, well, I need very specific marching orders. And I think what he says is, follow me. You want your marching orders? Well, how about you open up the scriptures? And I said, follow me. So what does it look like to follow Jesus? And he begins to shift that thinking, which is, it's super fun. And it's a lifetime of learning, at least for me.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is we have some listeners who are hearing this and they are thinking things like, kind of like what Matt said, I don't have the personality for that. I'm not spiritual enough. I think I can only hear from God if I'm in like some sort of sacred space, which you kind of address these myths at the beginning of mm-hmm. your book. And I'm just wondering if you can double click for a second on what do you say to a person who kind of is like, I want to hear and I want to practice, but that's actually not me.
Mm-hmm. Well, everybody's an artist, Christy. Isn't that what your art teacher tells you? We're all artists here.
The sun can
here.
Be blue.
And the truth is we are all artists, but some people have an easier time connecting in that space. I would say that might be the case here too. So if you are following the Lord, if you are a child of God, he tells us very specifically and clearly in scripture, my sheep hear my voice. They will not follow a stranger. So that's a key for all of us. The question is, how open are we to trying it and practicing it? And I think with spiritual disciplines, at least this is just my opinion, this is just coming from me, some people are pretty wired to have an easier, quote unquote, time in that space. That's just what their personality is. And other people are like, man, this feels clunky. So I don't think God wants to make himself a mystery to us, but part of discovering the clues is how has he wired me to connect with him through the blood and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Okay, that we're clear on that part. But I think it's just, there's a wide open space as to how we can connect with the Lord. For me specifically, I'm a words girl. I love to hear from God. I'm a writer, for heaven's sake. So this particular spiritual discipline of writing with God, it comes more naturally for me. And for other people, it might be a harder discipline, but does that mean we don't do it? We don't try it? We don't open ourselves up to the experience? The one thing I can say is I led a group of ladies through this at Christmas time at a Christmas event, and my husband was there serving us. So God bless him. He's such an amazing human being. And he said, do you need help? I'd love to come help you out with this event. And he was in the background listening to me guide people through this experience. And then when we got in the car to leave, he said, oh, you keep talking about journaling. If that's what you mean by journaling, I could do that. Because there's this, there's something about this idea of journaling and hearing from God that feels almost overwhelming and untethered. Like, where do I even land the plane? I don't even know how to do this. So for me, this practice that he gave me to share with the world, it helps land the plane in my spirit. And I'm not asking someone to just jump out into some abyss unless that's what you want to do. Okay, within reason. But this guided is like, don't be concerned. Like, I'm going to take you by the hand and we're going to do one step at a time. And so it's pretty natural for people to say, I don't know. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can hear God. And all I can say is, he's told you that he can speak to you. Are you willing and open to give it a try and go through this practice? I don't know how it's going to be for you. And you might shift some things around. But for me and a lot of people that I've worked with, it's been really, really powerful. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, your book goes into 12 steps, basically, of journaling. And I appreciate that you use our words, because that was helpful to me to kind of try to remember some of them. And I'm not going to go through all of them. Of like, we talked about releasing, receiving, renewing, removing. So you can, I want you to buy the book and read it and practice it and buy the journal. But I'm wondering if you can kind of, out of all the steps, which one feels easiest to you personally, and which one feels most challenging to you?
Gosh, that's a good question. I don't know. Let's see here. Let's review the steps, shall we? I won't go over them. One thing that I love to do is the very first step is getting rooted in scripture. So it felt clear to me, and I think this helped answer your question also about hearing from God, is I start each section of journaling with a passage of scripture, so a verse or two. So that helps when I get rooted in scripture and I remind myself, what does God's voice sound like? So I have people get started, just read these two sentences. God is talking to you. What does his voice sound like? If somebody just stopped there, that is powerful enough for the day. So I think that's the easiest for me, because then I remind myself, oh, that's right. This is what God's voice sounds like. Here's a word or two from this particular passage that he's bringing to mind today that I should meditate on or kind of anchor in faith in a deeper way. I like to get rooted in scripture. That comes pretty naturally for me. What's the hardest part? I think some people would say receiving from the Lord. Like, what if I don't hear him? What if I don't have anything to write? And I think that can be a little bit intimidating. But I also think that it's an opportunity to expand your mind and just begin to ask him to come over you with love. Even if you just wrote down, I love you, that's God speaking to you. So it seems on paper like the most intimidating piece of it, but it can be so simple that he's bringing, you know, these words of love to you.
We'll be right back.
The Gravity Podcast is sponsored by the Gravity Formation Course, our 12-month cohort-based training in practical spiritual formation, where you'll learn how to notice how God is already at work in your life so you can participate more fully in the life that God shares with us. It is a discipleship process that goes beyond just gaining more knowledge and trying out some new practices. In the Gravity Formation Course, we go below the surface of our lives so that we can notice and name our deepest desires in God's presence, and to discern how God is at work in those desires to lead us toward holistic flourishing, more transformation, more life, more joy, more love. We've trained hundreds of people from all over the world in this formation framework, and it's helped many people to have a sense of God at work in their lives and learn to be more at home in God's love. If you'd like to learn more, go to gravitycommons.com/formation.
Let's get back to the show.
Maybe helping land the plane a little bit, because sometimes I feel like we're talking up here of like, 30,000 feet. What does it actually practically look like in my life? And so just another quick example of, I really blew it as a mom last week with Soren, my 15-year-old who's learning how to drive. And for those parents who are not at that place teaching someone how to drive, like, I'm really sorry that you're going to get to that place. Then you've done it. You've done it four times. I needed to like learn lessons from you or something. But as in the car, he like kind of skidded through a little bit of a stop sign right by our house where there's no ever any cars. And I was like, you have to stop the car. You can't, you know, whatever. Anyway, I don't need to give you all the details, but the gist of it is at the next stop sign, he like slammed on the brakes and I was pissed because I thought he was like pissed at me and kind of proving something to me and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, later on, I like was still fuming from that and kind of journaling out like, I'm angry. I'm frustrated. I don't like this part of parenting. I don't want to teach my kid how to drive. And just kind of getting it out there of like releasing it. And then really what kind of surfaced was not just the frustration of having to teach Soren how to drive and the interaction that we had, but I was believing the lie that because he responded poorly, that I was a bad mom. Mm. Like that was the lie that I was kind of holding, and that it was all up to me, that like my kid's life and choices and decisions and what reflect. I mean, we all know that this is not true, but we all sometimes live that our identity comes from what our kids are doing or saying or whatever. And I was believing that lie and getting to a place where I could say, okay, but what is the truth? Where is my identity really anchored? And the practice of journaling got me to that place to remind me what the truth was. And what I hear you saying is, that's what this is about, is being rooted in scripture, being able to release the junk, the lies, the you know, the bad news, so to speak, and being able to replace it with good news and truth and gospel.
Yeah, and I
that
think
practice.
What makes this different, like when, as you're speaking, one thing that's coming to me is like, what makes this particular, why would I buy this journal over anything else? Why don't I just buy a spiral notebook and just kind of release and receive and there we go? To me, one of the most interesting parts is the now what? Like, this journal is asking you to take a step of faith. Like, what response? So you mentioned all the R words, right? So if the Lord's bringing you to this awareness of, okay, I'm releasing this stress and this anxiety from my flesh, and I'm replacing it with this joy and perspective of the Holy Spirit. The very next step is, okay, now what? What do you do with that? So what step of faith do you sense God inviting you to take? So in your example for, you know, in your story, is there a moment where God might say, you know what, Christy, maybe the faith-based action is to go back to Soren and say, wow, I am so sorry that I blew up at you. Now, you are a very evolved human being. You might come up with that on your own. But me, for example, sometimes I need a little extra guidance and that push to say, okay, it's one thing to receive a revelation and get it to kind of anchor in your spirit. But I believe that true kingdom living is that, okay, now what is how would I walk that out? How would I actually, as this book suggests, have deeper connections with other people and with God? Mm-hmm. It's by saying, oh, I've had this revelation and now I have this opportunity to take a step of outside of my comfort zone and respond in active faith. And then, you know, you have to explore the resistance. Why would I resist talking to him? Because that would mean that I would have to say, I'm sorry. And I have to be humble and all those type of things. So that's another piece of what this journaling does. It just gets down to that granular level of understanding. What is our next right step? What resistance do we feel to it? And why would we do it anyway?
That's good.
Yeah. That is good. You know, as I keep thinking, Megan, as we're listening, that there's two pitfalls usually for me when I'm thinking about hearing from God. The first is sometimes God's voice doesn't sound like I think it should. And secondly, what if I get it wrong? You know, like those are the two big stumbling blocks for me. And like the get it wrong is, you know, obviously I think we've all heard stories of like
God told me to start a cult, you know, or God told me that so-and-so would win a race. All I had to do is get 10 people to pray. And then, you know, these kinds of things. Tell me how you navigate that in your own life. Do you ever feel like, how do you discern, like, is this just the coffee I had on Chrissy's back porch this morning, or is this the Holy Spirit?
I think that's a fantastic question. I mean, again, the only way I know how to answer that question is, does it bring me back to the love and truth of God, or does it not? So as I'm sifting through thoughts and emotions, if something is bringing me closer, a deeper connection with God and with other people, and again, I can begin to see the harvest of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness coming from those thoughts and those actions, that to me is like, proceed. That's a green light. Yeah. But if I'm in those spaces where it's more of a confusion and it's a disconnection and it's withdrawing from God, withdrawing from other people, and it's in direct contradiction to the words of Jesus, and it's bringing me worry and anxiety instead of bringing me peace, I don't know any other way to sift through that except for to play that out. And I mean, I'm a professional overthinker. I'm a firstborn. I don't want to get things wrong. I'm a 9 on the Enneagram with a 1 wing. So if that means anything to you, it means that, like, you tell me the right way to go and I will do it and we'll be good and we'll have a great relationship and I will just live under your expectations. So for a long time, that's how I've related to God too. Like, God, just tell me what to do. I don't want to mess it up. And God has been graciously deconstructing this in me to say, you can't mess up my love. You can't mess up my will. You can't. I mean, that's cute that you think that you could do that. But he's just replacing his perspective of what is greater than doing things right, well, perfectly. It's doing things that bring connection and peace and a depth of love that you could not even experience any other way. So rather than approaching this as some sort of linear path, like where each pavement is getting, you know, is getting put down in front of you, what if he's just rewiring what the point of life is in the first place, which is to connect with him and connect with yourself and other people? At least that's the message that he's been giving to me and he's asking me to share with others. So yeah. Maybe it will resonate with somebody else out there.
Yeah. That's good. It's helpful. I'm reminded of what we sometimes say in our training about that question. Cause we like learning to hear good news from God and learning to proclaim it to others is part of the skill, so to speak, that we train in. And I find it helpful to kind of boil that down to, like, does this jive with the character of God, mm-hmm. what we know of God, you know, in Christ? And does this jive with the story of Jesus, which is the gospel, right? And then does this jive, as you said, with the fruit of the Spirit? And does it seem to be producing mm-hmm. the fruit of the Spirit? And mm-hmm. if so, then even if it's not from God, it's probably still good, you know? And so go for it, you know? Mm-hmm. I think there's a possibility that we could have, that we can maybe think God thoughts after God. And so it doesn't always need to be like a direct channeling of God's voice necessarily. I think sometimes we can just be like, yeah. And I'm learning to just have these thoughts myself as well, mm-hmm. you know, and they're good gospel thoughts and they help me live in, you know, God's kingdom. And so, yeah.
Yeah.
Really, well, I feel like we could chat about this for hours, but I we're almost at time. So, Megan, can you just tell our listeners kind of where can they find you? Where can they buy this book and journal? Where are you on social media? Give us all your places.
They can find me on your back porch, Christy. Should we give them all the address? Just kidding.
And I tell our listeners, I'll buy coffee. They'll have coffee with you. I'm offering to have coffee now with you and me.
Yes. Okay. Well, I do have a website, which is where people can find me at OneSense, Megan, the letter B, Nilsen, NILSEN.com. I hang out on Instagram a lot at Megan_Nilsen. And I have a podcast. So shameless plug for my podcast. It's called the Kingdom Life Coaching Podcast. And I just hit it with that intersection of life and faith and have lots of conversations like we're having right now. What does that actually mean? And so I probably will never get to the end of the content because I'm constantly asking, what does that actually mean? So the Kingdom Life Coaching Podcast is where you can find me too.
That's great.
Well, and if they want to have a taste of your book, you actually read the intro and kind of talk about it. And maybe we can put that in the show notes so that they can get a taste of that. But we encourage you to check out our book, Untangled Faith, How Honest Conversations with God Lead to Deeper Connections, Clarity, and Peace. Megan, and thanks for being with us today.
Thanks. Yeah, you can find the book and the journal on Amazon, of course.
Awesome.
We all have to live there.
Sold. Yep. I hear you. Great to have you with us, Megan.
Aw, thanks you guys. It's been awesome.
Peace.
You guys, so fun to have a friend on. I mean, this has happened to you guys where you've had friends, but I haven't really had a friend. So, not that I don't have friends. I know you joked about that already.
I know. I thought it was a funny joke because clearly of all of us, of the three of us on this podcast, Christy, you're the one I would almost guarantee you have the most friends. You have more friends than I do. So,
yeah. Anyway. Not that it's a contest.
Yeah. No. It doesn't matter that you're winning the contest, Christy.
Yeah, I actually met. We didn't talk about this in the podcast. I actually met Megan when I was at visiting the Pentleys one time.
That's right.
Got to hang out and we actually processed a Kairos together. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. One thing I wish she would have maybe gotten into in the interview is just like a little bit of practicality. And what I mean by that, she talked about writing a lot. But when I journal, sometimes it's bullet points. Sometimes it's like a word and then like a word of bad news and then a word of good news and then what or something. I've even done pictures like kind of drawing, like for people who are more artistic, more than me, could probably draw really nice pictures. Anyway, I think there's some creativity and some openness to kind of what this could look like. And so, but next time, I guess.
Yeah.
Next time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, That is interesting. I was thinking about that with her sort of, I mean, she's got this process that does involve writing, but she mentions, you know, that like, it's more important to kind of find what works for you. So what actually connects you to God's kind of word for you or God's heart for you? And so Matt, you mentioned, you know, going for walks kind of helps you. I think writing helps me. So I don't know. I appreciated that. It's just that it was like, the goal isn't to journal more. You know what I mean? There's nothing inherently good about journaling. It's just one of the practices that helps us stay in touch with God and what God's saying to us and the gospel and how our lives can be connected.
It's helpful. It was great. This interview reminded me of the headline I saw about Julie Andrews. Did you see that she bought this really cheap lipstick apparently and it fell apart and gave her bad breath? Did you guys see that?
No.
Yeah. Apparently super colored fragile lipstick gave her halitosis.
I knew it was coming. This time I knew it was coming, people.
Yep. If you could see the smirk that spread across Christy's face, I was like, she knows what's happening.
I know this time.
Yep.
Let it be known far and wide that after 18 months of ending the podcast with dad jokes, Christy caught on to it.
She figured it out.
Yeah. All right. Well,
super califragilistic, super lipstick. I don't know. What did you say?
Super colored, fragile lipstick gave her halitosis.
Super colored.
It's good.
Isn't that good?
Oh, there you have it, friends.
There it is.
Yep. All right. Yep. Well,
somehow
we'll see on the flip side.
Interview reminded Matt of that. So,
it did. Somehow. All right, everybody.
All right. See you next time, everybody. Peace.
Peace.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Gravity Leadership Podcast. If you're finding it helpful, we'd love it if you tell your friends about it.
Ratings and reviews online also help others find the podcast. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.
You can join our Gravity community for free. You'll get our latest content delivered straight to your inbox, as well as an email most Fridays with curated links to articles that we found interesting or helpful. To join us, go to gravityleadership.com/join.
Our show is produced by Ben Sturkey and Matt Tebby. Aaron Sturkey edits and mixes the podcast. You can check out his work at aaronsturkey.com.
We'd love to hear from you. To record a question or comment for us, go to gravityleadership.com/message and click the Start Recording button.
You can also email us at podcast@gravityleadership.com. Catch you next time.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.